Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I am Jake Sherman.
Welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It is Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, we've got the latest on the Omni. Number two, five things that stuck out on Zelensky's speech last night. And number three, the Dem race for House oversight. All right, Jake, let's get into it. All eyes are on the Senate and the twists and turns of the omnibus. The deadline, of course, for government funding to run out is tomorrow, Friday. Everybody is looking to get out of town. Sometimes it's the darkest before the dawn when it comes to legislation like this. Last night, things were pretty pessimistic, but they're trudging forward here.
Yeah, you know, I was reminded last night when I got home of what John McCain used to say. It's always darkest before it turns pitch black.
that's not the optimism we're looking for this morning.
So late last night, or a couple hours ago, actually, 2 o'clock in the morning, Chuck Schumer went to the floor and basically said they are on the brink of a time agreement. Excuse me, I'm yawning because I am really tired because I was at this I was at this speech last night, Volodymyr Zelensky, which we'll talk about in a minute, and then I am also dealing with the Senate. So they are on the brink of a time agreement. The Senate comes in at 8 a.m. this morning to try to lock in the time agreement. They need a time agreement because if they file cloture, they can't get to this to next week. That is not what they want. I don't know. I think they'll get a time agreement, and I think they'll finish up today in the Senate. Famous last words. I don't know. There's too much at stake.
But let's rewind the tape a little bit here, because this was all seemingly kind of felt like it was going, everybody's rowing in the right direction. And then, the omnibus package stalled out last night over this clash over the U.S.-Mexico border of provision and amendment that Senator Mike Lee, the Republican from Utah, wanted to include that would extend the Biden administration's use of Title 42. Of course, that restricts asylum claims for migrants seeking safe haven in the United States. This is basically a poison pill, right, Jake?
It is, because it'll pass the Senate and then it won't pass the House. They cannot... There's no way they could allow that to pass because the bill would die in the House, and that's not what they want. All of that said, cloture would probably... So Schumer also filed cloture last night. Cloture would basically take this bill to next week, which is not what anyone wants. So I do think they will get this done now. I do. I think they'll get it done today. I don't know that the House could push through today also. Maybe they could. Maybe they could do it overnight. I don't know if... I guess they could do it overnight tomorrow night or tonight, whatever it is, and then allow people to get out of town. Remember, storms are bearing down on much of the country. Christmas is Sunday. You know, there's just way too much at stake for all parties involved to let this slip away at this point. I mean, that is just the reality of it. And I think, quite frankly, that it's tight. It's tight. It's going to be really interesting to see.
Always interesting to see how they get things done. And this is the kind of sausage making. It's not pretty, but this is the haggling. To your point, though, a lot of pressure, right? I mean, this is the last train out of the station. There's an agreement on so much here with the storms brewing, Congress wanting to get out of town, the fact that they just had this Zelensky speech last night. It appears the momentum is there. How it gets done is always going to be the things that we cover. So we'll be bringing you more information on that throughout the day. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. I'm pretty sure most of the folks listening here were watching the speech and the historic address to a joint session of Congress by the Ukrainian president last night. You and our recent addition to Punchbowl News colleague Andrew Desiderio were in the chamber last night. Would love to hear kind of some of your top takeaways there.
Yeah, Andrew, new to Punchbowl News, but not new to us. We worked with him at Politico. Very happy to have him at Punchbowl News. A few thoughts. Number one, I will start with this. It was a very interesting speech. It was a historic moment. You don't get this too often. There were about 85 House Republicans in the chamber, a far cry from 213 House Republicans who are in the House right now. It is the last week of the year with proxy voting, which is going away in a couple weeks. People are probably taking advantage of that. Number two, lot of no applause people that included most notably Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert of Florida and Colorado, respectively. They did not even clap when Zelensky entered the room. Now, there are some who are skeptical of more money to Ukraine. That is a lot of the position of a lot of Republicans in the House of Representatives. There was a standing ovation for about two and a quarter minutes when Zelensky, wearing his military fatigues, kind of as he has for this entire 301-day war now, when he entered the chamber. He made the case, he made the case that the U.S. aid is an investment in global security. He said, you know, he talked about the Iranians helping the Russians in Ukraine, really to pull at the heartstrings of Congress, who which is not a big fan, generally speaking, of the government in Tehran. Another observation. You know, usually the chamber is filled to the brims. There are people in the upstairs gallery, guests of members of Congress. There was none of that last night, because of security concerns. Zelensky, according to one of his advisors, was really just here for a short amount of time. He was in the air longer than he was on the ground in Washington. Just a whirlwind visit. I don't think he did even spend the night. Landed at Andrews, went to Blair House, perhaps to change. I mean, I guess, freshen up, went to Biden, then went to the Capitol, gave a speech, and I think he was out of there last night. So, a historic visit, a really interesting visit, and a very interesting speech.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought beyond just the kind of, to your point, the theater in the room about, which is really telling about what we've been talking about for a long time, this kind of concern that is growing that there's a larger faction of House Republicans in particular that are, kind of over giving what they call, kind of a blank check to Ukraine, although that's not what they've asked for. I did think that the speech and his, kind of how he was able to speak to different constituencies, whether it was, the people in Ukraine, the people in Russia, American citizens, Republicans, was very masterful and really, just a historic night. And will be interesting to see not just how that plays in the Omni, but how and if it has any impact going forward into 2023. Let's move on to the number three item of the morning. Jake, we love covering these races for different gavels, for ranking members. It's one of the things that you and I have been doing for a very long time. And Democrats have largely got their ducks in a row when it comes to leadership. That has been very, a lot less dramatic than I think some people thought it was going to be. But we do have an interesting race here for a very important panel for the Democrats next Congress on the House Oversight and Reform Committee. Of course, this panel and the Democrat in charge of it on the ranking side, obviously not on the gavel side, is going to be charged with defending Democrats and certainly the Biden administration when it comes to House Republicans wanting to do investigations.
Yeah, so this is going to be a big position in a Democratic Congress. Right now it's between Jamie Raskin, who has gained fame on the January 6th committee and during impeachment against Jerry Connolly, a longtime member of the committee. Democrats are going to want to be they're going to want someone who could fight. that's the reality of it. You have two different kind of people in Raskin and Connolly. I don't have a view about, I mean, they would both probably be pretty effective. Raskin probably has the edge given everything, all his notoriety.
He was voted on as the supported by the steering committee.
Right, right. So it's difficult to, it's difficult to see. It's difficult to see Connolly beating him. Connolly, again, he's a longtime member of the committee, is very well versed in the art of war on the oversight committee. So, you know, I think there are two distinct choices here, and we'll see how it works out.
All right. With that, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Leave us a rating and review or share about the Daily Punch. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.